Hi, everybody. Off we go to jolly old England today, which I hope is jolly. I know it's old. I hope it's jolly. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio on February 16th, 2022. With a big thank you to my friends, Stephen Wakefield in particular, over at Discovery Education for putting this show together. We are going to England virtually, if I may, which is actually what we're going to be talking about, okay? We've got Simon Pyle, who's the deputy head teacher at Anson Primary School in the UK in London. We'll find out exactly what he does and what the school is like. And we also have Phil Birchenall, who's the senior director of immersive content at Discovery. And he, too, is based in England from the looks of his phone number here. And we're going to talk about augmented reality, how they used it in the school, and a way to plug into all that. I did put a link up here just so you know about picking up a link to this Sandbox app, which we'll be talking about at the Apple Store. We're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. That's the home website for all our equity and access work. We're the Consortium on Equity in Education, the American Consortium on Equity in Education. We publish a magazine called Equity and Access. That's an online journal. It's on site at ace-ed.org. Just click on the cover of the journal and you'll really enjoy flipping through it, reading it, seeing all great stuff, plus a ton of articles over there on the website. All of our podcasts are there, and a link to our other website, which is all about social-emotional learning, and that's called seltoday.org. So we got a lot of good stuff for you over there at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, off we go across the pond. And Simon, jolly good to have you here. It's Larry.
Hi, lovely to be here, Larry. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. And Phil, same to you.
Great to meet you, Larry.
Thank you, my friend. It's great to meet you, too. Welcome, guys. Let's ask the basic question. How's the weather today, Simon, in good old London? My favorite city, by the way. Right.
Well, the washing has gone in and out and in and out several times. It's a very rainy day.
Oh, okay, very good. And I live in Maine, so it's gray, and I'm looking at piles of snow out here. And, Phil, are you in England all the time for all this? Or do you
I'm in England all the time. I'm in the northwest of the country.
Where? New York? Where?
I'm just near Manchester in the northwest of England, and it's
Manchester.
A very grey, rainy day here too.
All right, so let me ask you, Manchester City or Manchester United? Let's find out first.
Well, if you live in the city, you have to say Manchester City. I'm blue all the way.
All right, there you go. Thank you. So you're a Manchester City guy, correct?
I'm a Manchester City guy.
There you go. And Simon, just since we have to do this, Premier League, who's your team? There's about 47 teams. There's 47 teams in London. Which one is yours?
None of them, actually. I support Ipswich Town Football Club, which is in the southeast of England and haven't had any success for about 40 years.
Well, I wish you luck in the future. Okay? I've been to Colchester. I'm not sure, is Colchester in the same league?
Yeah, they are, actually.
Yeah. I've been to a number of Colchester games over the years. I have friends who lived in Clack that I used to visit all the time. I know that area pretty well. It's beautiful out there. You in Essex? You're Essex, right? East Anglia, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's where my parents live.
Cool.
I'm based in London, but used to stand on the milk crates on the terraces to watch.
Great. That's classic, all right? Tell us about, we're going to get into all the stuff with Discovery in a minute, but you have the title, Simon, of Deputy Head Teacher, and it's at Anson Primary School. And all that is different here in the U.S., so tell everybody the role of a Deputy Head Teacher, and then tell us where Anson is and what primary school means in London. Go ahead.
Sure. So I suppose it's a bit like the vice principal. There's a head teacher above me who controls the school and is part of the sort of main decision making. I'm in charge of teaching and learning and the curriculum and responsible for developing teachers, including their skill set and constant professional development, but also making sure that our curriculum matches our intent in the school and is implemented in the kind of way that fulfills our vision. So Anson Primary School is located in northwest London. It's not far from Wembley Stadium. You can kind of see the arch from the end of the road. And we're a multicultural school, like most places in Brent. We have around 41 languages in the school at any one time. Pretty much all the major religions represented and ethnicities within the school. And what's, I suppose, unique about Anson is we don't have one dominant religion or one dominant ethnicity, so it's a real mix. In fact, we're kind of affectionately known as the village school in the United Nations of Brent.
Cool.
And so we have children aged 3 to 11, which is a wonderful range. And they enter in nursery and they leave at year 6 before they're going on to what we would call secondary education in the UK.
How nice. And I must ask, again, because I don't understand, is it a private school or a public school or maybe a combination?
Yeah, so it's a public school. It's basically funded by the government, who gives money to what we would call the local authority, which is our region of Brent. And then Brent then gives that money to the school. So we have a budget that we're in charge of. And it's up to us then how we use that budget to be able to make sure we give the children the quality of education they deserve. And because we have a real mix of social mix, I guess, in terms of deprivation, there's some really affluent families who are very well off, and some who have massive struggles on a day-to-day basis, of which the pandemic has only kind of made much larger. It's a really fabulous school to be part of, and I've actually been there now for 22 years.
So it's a permanent position. That's a joke.
I'm like the guy in the Shawshank Redemption with the crow in his pocket. I'm not leaving.
Okay, and by the way, everybody, you have a nice website. It's called AnsonPrimarySchool.com. That takes us to you, right? AnsonPrimarySchool.com.
That's correct, that's our website. Yeah.
Pretty
cool,
really,
I got
to tell
of
you.
What we're about.
Yeah.
It's really lovely. It's deceptive because it looks really tiny from the outside, but it just keeps going back, and it's a wonderful, wonderful part of London to be in.
Happy, confident, and creative. I love all this. This is just great. That's AnsonPrimarySchool.com. Phil, tell us what you do as Director of Immersive Content over at Discovery. Go ahead.
Well, my role at Discovery really is to look at education technology and to look at the kind of content that education technology is very good at immersing a pupil's mind into the learning. So in this case, you know, we're looking very much at augmented reality. But we're across all kinds of content where the it leaps out at you, either from the page or from the device, whatever you've got in your hands, and something that creates a moment in the classroom that really grabs your attention. And we call that immersive content, you know, something that grabs you in the same way that you get grabbed by listening to some music or reading a book. You know, we know that happens, and we want to exploit that effect and use education technology as a vehicle to amplify that and bring it directly into the classroom.
Yeah, it ain't your daddy's chalkboard anymore. Let's put it that way. Is that a good way to put it? Okay.
I think that's a fair way of doing it.
Yeah,
and
it
of
is.
Course, you know, it really is. You know, the iPad, the tablet, that's the chalkboard now. And things move on, and we've just got to move with it. We've got to innovate.
Yeah, we do. And it sounds like Anson is doing just that. And I want to ask the next thing. Talk to me. Phil, we know what your immersive content is. Talk about, I'm going to swing into this, augmented reality. And that's what we're going to kind of be talking about here. So, Phil, I'll let you do this one, augmented reality. Just explain to everybody what that is. Everybody knows virtual reality. Okay, there's another kind of reality.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's real reality, but we want to escape that, okay? That stinks this year.
Yeah,
okay?
this is all about augmenting actual reality. So, you know, where
I wish you really could. Yeah, but go ahead, please.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
we're working on it, and Sandra,
I hope so.
So augmented reality, unlike virtual realities where you know, you put a device on your head and it closes off your vision and it takes over, and you can see things that are virtually there. And what we do, we take some of that approach, and we take, using a device, in this case an iPad, allows you to overlay objects onto your real world, onto your actual reality. So, you know, in the studio there, Larry, you could be looking at a lion sitting next to you, looking at you and moving around, and it would look like it was there. And it would be sitting on the floor, and you could see a shadow from it and everything. And what we do is we try and ramp up all of those cues so that your brain looks at this and thinks, that's really there. And that's augmented reality. It's like you know, if you think of a plane, it's like a heads-up display for your brain. It's something that's going to overlay something that's useful. It's usually a 3D model, could be an animation, could be sound, could be video, could be anything. But it's something that's overlaid into your real-world scenario right in front of you.
And just put that into, if you can, what Discovery does. For example, you said a lion, okay? And I know Discovery pretty well, but the range of what they can, I'll say your words, put next to them is deep, and I guarantee it's deep. And it goes from a lot of different subjects, from science to environmental subjects to social studies, okay, history, that sort of thing. Just give us that broad spectrum of what's in the box, so to speak. Okay,
yeah,
so go ahead.
Do you know what? You're right in the key element of educational design using education technology. This is the key question. So, you know, it's one thing to do that. That's cool. But, you know, I'm an ex-teacher. We like cool things, but, you know, cool things don't necessarily move the dial. You know, so when the child walks out of the classroom, did they know anything that they didn't know when they walked in? And so it's got to work. So Sandbox, we've placed, I think we've got currently getting on for 520 different models covering different areas of history. We've got science in there. We've got things like the moon landings. We've got the Perseverance rover. We've got animals. We've got flora and fauna. We've got all of those things that can be used together at the same time. And that's important. So we're putting something in the hands of the educator, and we're putting, in, very importantly, something in the hands of the student as well.
It is important. Again, I did put the link to the Apple Store for what's called the Sandbox app, okay, up here on site, if you want to just go get that, folks. Okay, it is there. We're going to talk about this. So now that we know a little bit of the technology behind it, back to Simon. Simon, when you first saw this, you've been teaching 22 years, and that doesn't make you an old man, but you're pretty well experienced, okay? And things change, I mentioned, from chalk to this, all right? Just talk about when you first saw this, and you're in charge of teaching and learning there, what were your thoughts as you see this kind of miracle education tools, if I may? Simon.
The word game changer is bandied around quite a lot, but actually within this, let's take back, I mean, you talk about the real reality and escaping the reality. Our journey with augmented reality really started because of a real life incident where we had taken some children to one part of London on a school trip. And one of the little boys, who was a boy from Brazil, said that he didn't realize London could look like that. Now, we were in Canary Wharf, which is a very affluent area. It's the financial center. It's full of tall skyscrapers and glass. We come from an area in Cricklewood that doesn't have anywhere near that level of affluence.
Wow.
It's a very congested area. A lot of the houses are split into six or seven flats. It's a lot of our children live in one or less than one bedroom accommodation, if I can say that. And
sure.
So for us, it was really about how we use augmented reality to bring the city to life. Because as you've rightly said on our website, our vision is all about happy, confident, creative children. And that creative bit is really the key. So using augmented reality, we got children to research all of the landmarks in London, to visit them, to interview tourists as they were going in and out, to draw those landmarks. And then we got the children to then create video content so that you could use an image that they'd drawn of St. Paul's Cathedral, hover over a device, and the video would play explaining what that landmark was all about, the history of it, the reason it was there. We collated all that together and at the time made a Google map. We're talking about 2009. And it was really a tricky task because augmented reality up until now had been really quite clunky, really quite difficult. What Sandbox has done is it's made it intuitive. It's made it a scenario where children can literally create ancient Rome or Maya or, you know, it's the 100th anniversary of the discovery of Tutankhamun's tomb this year. We can create an Egypt experience where children can can walk into a tomb and see the wonderful things that Howard Carter saw.
Wow.
So it's about putting the learning in the hands of the children and allowing them to create the environments to learn in, and bringing it to life in life size means you are actually physically walking around that Roman ruin or interacting with a life-size statue or standing next to a giraffe and working out ratio questions in mathematics.
Yeah.
It's completely cross-curricular in the way that it works. So for us, it was brought to us through the London Grid for Learning as part of a pilot project where we were looking at this app, and immediately these ideas just started bouncing around about how we could use it.
And I want to ask, thank you. That was great. I loved you. And I didn't know that, the 100th year of Finding King Tut's tomb. Okay? Knowing that, I'm going to stop my search for it. I didn't know it had been found. That's a joke. I did know it was found. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. Thank you, Howard Carter. All right? And I want to ask this, and this is one thing I don't understand. I'm going to swing back to Phil for a second. Phil, to do this, and I'm not that great in technology, I'm okay, but the Sandbox app, all right, and you can get that in the Apple Store. What did Discovery create that app? I'm a little lost right there. Phil.
Yes, yeah, this is an app that we've made as Discovery Education, and we've created the whole app, and that's available to download from the Apple App Store. Yeah.
Thank you, Phil. I just wasn't sure how that works. I don't know who created the app, so now I know it was Discovery.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's been created by the Immersive team, and we just happen to be based here in the UK.
The entire Immersive team is based in the UK?
Yeah,
Discovery?
We have
really?
but perfectly formed team based here in the UK. Yeah, Discovery Education, global business, and we have offices in the UK as well, in London and up here in Manchester too.
Well, thank you very much. That's good to know. What grades were you using this with, Simon? Where that little kid from Brazil? Where was he?
He was in year four at the time. But the beauty of this app is we're able to use it right across the school. So our teachers go through training. We've got another training session on the coming Monday, where we literally give them time just to get hands on, to play with the app, to learn how to use it. But we drive all of our learning with digital leaders in the school, and digital leaders run from the ages of six up to about 11. We put all of our technology in their hands and say, what would you do with this? Particularly when it's a new piece of technology. And often they will surprise you with the directions they'll take it, but it allows you to construct then learning, learning sequences that are relevant to them and are going to engage them. I mean, Phil talked about the idea of using immersive sort of education and immersive tools to drive engagement and creating moments. For us, it's really about creating moments that then create movement, whether that movement is emotional or whether it's social or whether it's a movement in their academic performance because they're engaged. Any moment you have has to have a reason to be there. And usually that is to create a movement.
And thank you for mentioning social and emotional, which is very dear to us. We have our app, our website, which is called seltoday.org. We're very involved in that part of the world. Thank you for mentioning how important this is. And I think it is. You know, I'm going to go back to the experience of that child that you described, the Brazilian young man. And, you know, it's so interesting. There's a big world out there, all right? And kids need to get that. Okay, and if we can get them to understand that without fear at the beginning of their educational experience, that makes a huge difference, all right? And it makes a difference not only academically, but I'm glad you brought it up. It makes a difference socially and emotionally. You start to see there's a bigger world than what you have perceived as the world. And if you get that, you start to understand there are different people in the world. Okay, in different structures of the world. I think that's incredibly important. If you can bring that to people, you know, if you can bring them to Egypt without having to go to Egypt, okay, and I hope they do get there one day, but if you can bring that to them, they can see what it's all about. And that's a social emotional learning piece that is incredibly, incredibly important. I think it's just great. Simon, I have to ask you. The teachers, your teachers, I'm sure as great as they are, were never really trained, probably half of them or most of them in school, when they went to teachers' college, okay, they weren't trained how to use this stuff. I could sadly and unfortunately almost guarantee that. When they saw this, okay, you know, what was their, how did you train them? What was their reaction? You know, that sort of thing. Because we got to get the teachers as engaged as we got to get the kids. Simon.
You have. You absolutely have. And you do have to plan that in. So we're very lucky. We're recognized by Apple as an Apple Regional Training Center. We're one of about 85, I think, in the UK and Ireland.
Well,
and that's because we've placed the idea that we have built over the past 25 years, I guess. We were the first school in a local area to have broadband, the first school to have a wireless network of devices.
Well,
and what we've done throughout is we've empowered teachers to feel like they, I mean, they could walk into any other school and they could be leading technology in the school. And it's because of the time you invest, drop-in sessions to allow them just to come and ask questions, the ability to pair up teachers as well. So we used the Apple Teacher Training Program. 50% of our teachers are qualified on that training program, and we pair those with teachers that are not so that they can work together to improve learning opportunities for children using technology. But we are always on hand. We do a lot of peer-to-peer work where we work with teachers to just explore what might be possible with technology and then fundamentally allowing them time to play. I mean, we run a film festival every November in our school.
Oh, good.
This November, we have 65 films made in the month from children aged 3 to 11.
The kids make the films. That's
children,
wonderful.
The children make the film, but it needs the teachers to support that. And so you have to invest time in that. You really do. But you're absolutely right when you talk about the there is no substitute, for example, with our year one children visiting St. Paul's Cathedral, standing in the centre and looking up at the dome. There is no substitute for that. But what Sandbox is allowing us to do is to level the playing field. So there will be families that will go to Egypt on holiday just because they know they're studying the Egyptians. They will go to Rome just because they're studying the Romans. But what we're allowing the children to all do is have a level playing field and an equal opportunity with this app. Because
That's
we can
right.
create scenarios where they can all understand it and all empathize and all feel what it was like to be there. And it may not be the first-hand experience, but it's as close as you're going to get. And for some of those children, that's critical for their life chances.
Well, I agree with you there. And when you say that, you know, we all look at the science fiction movies that take us to outer space. Okay, very few of us, certainly the three of us on this phone call, are not going to go to outer space. We're not, unless Phil starts to make good friends with Elon Musk. Okay, we're not going to outer space. All right, but we're able to know what it's like. Okay, and that moves everything forward. Okay, it moves everything forward. You know, go ahead.
I have to say one of the most beautiful moments in the very first kind of sessions where we were running this app was a little girl who wanted to build a solar system in the app. And she took all these planets around our school hall. And she sat on the stage and she pretended that she was about to launch this rocket. And then she did the simplest thing in the world, because we basically had on the screen all these planets floating around a PE hall where children are usually doing their physical education. What she did was put her finger over the camera, turned everything black, and all of a sudden these planets were floating in this blackness of space. And then she walked around giving this commentary about, and so just in that moment, she's literally felt like she's gone into space. And for us, that was just one tiny moment that just thought, yes, we can do something with this that hasn't been able to be done before.
Yeah, and look at her, and I'll just say the obvious, we need more young women to think exactly like she's thinking and get involved in that, okay? And yeah, it's that simple. Phil, I must ask you a question. I have a note here that you led the development of the Sandbox app, okay, that we're talking about here, the augmented reality. And I have to ask, how did you do that? You were trained as a teacher. Are you also a coding guy, or did you just tell those tech dudes what we needed here? I'm going to hear your role in it. Yeah, sure.
So actually, this year is my 30th year in education technology. So I started out in a primary school in the northwest of England with a very similar profile to the one that Simon is talking about. And that's where I learned. Simon made such a great point before about the emotional response, and I know it's something that's dear to your heart too. And what I found, what I learned was that when you were able to get pupils to feel something, then you got the best out of them, whatever that feeling was.
Yeah,
and that's where I knew the power of content and how to deliver it. And so I became very passionate about that as my time in a teacher. And I traveled through the system working for what you would probably call a school district in training teachers and just developing content and working alongside the European Union and others to develop content across the whole of Europe. And always at the center of it has just been creating those moments, education technology with purpose. So, yes, I can code a little bit. I can do graphics. I can do all these things a little bit. But my expertise is understanding how to design things that work in a classroom environment so that someone like Simon in his incredible school can pick this up and I can give them, as people say to me, the warm start. You know, we know that they're going to take it. And that the story of the little girl going up into space, and I've seen the video, I found quite moving actually when I saw it, and it kind of blew my mind.
Yeah,
and amazing. Because that's what we want to happen. And so that's our route through. And for the tech people who are listening, yes, we make these in Unity, so we're Unity developers, so it's a bit like a games development studio, but we're very focused on solid education and education design.
Yeah, and you know what you just said struck me, because kids have to see themselves in the role they want to play.
Yes.
They have to see themselves there. Okay, we can talk about stuff, but if it's so abstract, they can't picture it. I mean, adults have trouble picturing it. Okay?
Yes.
But if we can put that picture in their heads and put them there, okay, it's a giant, to quote Neil Armstrong, it's a small step for man, but it's a giant leap for mankind, okay? And he stole that from me, I might add. No, I'm only kidding. He did not do that, okay? Okay, I'll ask you this so you can pass to Simon next, but with augmented reality and your love of this, okay, where do you see it going next? Or if there is a next? I think there probably is a next.
Yeah, there's an ongoing next for sure. It's always been a technology that's always grabbed attention when it's been encountered by people, by users, and it will continue to do so. And the reason it will continue to do so is because the devices, the technology itself, if we look at how exponentially the power of devices improves and just goes through the roof, really, then what we're going to see in 5-10 years' time is we're going to see augmented reality that's going to be persistent, that might be through the device you're wearing over your eyes. It could be a lens in your eye. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
There's a bulk of people having it through, you know, implants and things. So augmented reality is something that's going to stay, and it's only going to develop.
Oh, it is.
I think, you know, people like us and like Simon and others, we're always here ready to wait and to do that innovative piece. And people think innovation is all about devices and objects and technology. For us, the real innovation is what happens inside the classroom and how to bring these technologies so it benefits our young people and helps them along their journey as well and gets them to experience, to do things, and to learn in ways that we didn't when we were at school.
Yeah, and the real result is inside the child, I got to tell you. It's really something. I know what the kids want out of this. They want the augmented reality to create a 3D avatar of themselves that will be in class so that they can go to the soccer game, the football game. Okay, Phil and Simon doesn't know they're gone. Okay, that's what they want. Simon, what do you want? What do you see as the next step? If you thought about that?
I want them to feel like the creativity is really there. We talk about the importance of creativity as a future skill for the business world, I guess, and preparing children to think creatively and to solve problems. And what AR is really giving us is emotional connections for children.
Yeah. I love the way you brought that up.
There's a growing simplicity to AR. There really is. There's a real growing simplicity to it. And we used to talk about gimmicks in augmented reality, but now we're talking about real concrete materials.
Yeah,
I think that's only going to grow. So where we talk about creativity is thinking outside the box, what we're really seeing now is the joy of products like Sandbox creating enough creative opportunities inside the box so that children can really begin to explore what's inside their head and bring a world to life around them that shows that they've got a real understanding of what they're learning, because that's what creativity can give you. It gives you that ability to show your understanding in the most individualized way possible. And I think that augmented reality, the simpler it gets, the easier it is. So it's so intuitive that you can just pick it up and make something happen, allowing children to walk around the treasure island, physically stepping out towards it in a lesson, rather than this abstract sheet that they're having to fill in. I think it can really change the way that education works, but actually, you don't want to be at the format. You don't want to be missing the lessons. You want to be there because you're engaged and you have creative control over what you're learning.
Yeah, and I love what you just said. We're going to leave it there, that sometimes you don't have to think outside the box if you haven't used everything that's already in the box. Okay, there's a lot of stuff in this box. Okay, it's really good. Okay, and we're going to take it to the next step as well. Gentlemen, thank you both. Okay, you were wonderful. Thank you for being here. Simon, Phil, great job. Much appreciated. Be good, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
Great to meet you, too. Have a great day. Okay, we'll talk again soon.
You too, Larry.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Simon Pyle, everybody. Simon's the assistant principal, if I may, called deputy head teacher at this lovely school. You can look it up over at Anson Primary School, which is in London, and they do have a nice website. You can go over there, check it out if you want to. And Phil is the senior director of immersive content at Discovery. And you can go to the Apple App Store and get the Sandbox AR app. All right? It's all good stuff, all right, obviously. And I love that social-emotional twist to it, okay? And it's just amazing what we can do out there. It ain't your daddy's chalkboard anymore. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Everything we do is at ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening.